Vadok Singh, the war mason, had a habit of stroking architectural plans as he laid them out, as if they were a beloved pet. "Necessity," he said, his favourite word, stroking out the revised schemata of the Darwalgari elevation. "It's ugly," said Dawn. He stood away from the table, leaning against one of the planning chamber's thick columns, his arms folded across his broad chest.
"Ugly is what they will do if they find the Annapurna Gate weak and flimsy," Singh replied.
He stood back and lit his bock pipe from a taper, allowing his flock of slaves to finish laying out the designs and adjusting the brass armature of the viewing lenses that would magnify details and project them onto the chamber wall for closer examination. Dawn shrugged. "It's still ugly. The Orbis and Lazulite work encrusting that gate took Menzo of Travert 30 years to complete. Pilgrims flock here simply to see it. They say it surpasses even the Eternity Gate in its aesthetic."
"Aesthetic now?" Singh smiled.
He began to pace, trailing blue smoke from the bowl of his long-stemmed pipe. His slaves followed him up and down the chamber like a timorous litter of young following their mother. Singh was a tall man, taller than the Primarch, but skeletally thin. His guild gene-bred their bloodline to favour height for purposes of surveying and overseeing.
"I do so love our conversations, Rogel. They're quite contrary. I mean, you, the warrior, and me, the craftsman, and you lecture me on aesthetics."
"I'm not lecturing," Dawn replied. He was aware of Sigismund and Archimus in the corner of the great room, stiffening at the war mason's use of his forename. Dawn would hear about proper respect and protocol again later.
"Well, of course you're not," said Singh. "But it is a necessity. I mean, how many legions does the upstart have with him now?"
Dawn heard Sigismund rise to his feet. He turned and stared at the first captain of the Imperial Fists. Sigismund glowered back for a second, then left the chamber. Dawn glanced back at the war mason.
"Too many," he said.
Singh held out a long, spindly arm in the direction of the schemata.
So?
"Begin work tomorrow at sunrise. Dismantle the gate with care and store the dismantled elements in the vaults. We will put the work back when this is done."
Singh nodded. "We will put everything back," thought Dawn. "When this is done, we will put everything back the way it was."
A katabatic wind was coming in off the lower bulwarks that night. The palace was so immense, the precipice walls bred their own microclimate. Greasy stars swam in the heat ripple of the palace's new reactors. The void shields were being tested again.
"Not a palace. Not the palace anymore. A fortress."
Some of those sullen stars were orbital platforms, catching the last backscatter of the sunlight as Terra turned. Dawn put on a fur-edged robe that had been in his possession since his adolescence on Inwit, and went out to walk the parapets of the Darwalagiri prospect, to dwell upon its beauty one last time. It was one of the last sections of the palace that remained untouched. Adamantium armor plates, drab pre-stressed rock concrete, and auto turrets had yet to blight its ethereal lines. Soon, though, from the wall, Dawn could see the 500,000 campfires of the Masonic host, the labor army that would invade the prospect come sunrise with their mallets and chisels and cranes. The robe had been his grandfather's, though Dawn had long since understood that no ties of blood linked him to the Inuit ice caste that had raised him. He had been created from another genetic line, that most singular line, in a sterile vault deep beneath him in the buried core of the palace.
"Not a palace. Not the palace anymore. A fortress."
Dawn had been built to rule, built to assist in his father's tireless ambition, built to make the hard decisions. He had been made as a Primarch, one of only 20 in the galaxy, engineered by the master architect of mankind, the Archmason of genetic code.
The Imperium needs many things, but foremost it needs the ability to protect itself, to attack when necessary. That's why I gave it 20 strong teeth in its mouth.
Attacking was a remarkably easy thing to do. Dawn's physical prowess humbled all but 20 human beings in creation, and those 20 were his father and his 19 brothers. In Dawn's opinion, the real art was knowing when not to attack. His grandfather, the old Inuit sire, patriarch of the Ice Hive clan, had taught him that. Dawn had been the seventh lost son to be reclaimed. By the time his father's forces found him, he had become a system warlord in his own right, ruling the Inuit cluster as the head of the House of Dawn. His grandfather had been dead 40 winters, but still the warlord had slept with a fur-edged robe across his body at night. His people had called him Emperor, until the true meaning of that title had been demonstrated by 1,000 warships in the Inuit sky